Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Catch Up with Louise McSharry. This is the episode that focuses on the world of celebrity and entertainment. You're not going to hear anything properly serious in this because that's not really what this is about. Sometimes it gets serious, but most of the time we're just having a laugh, talking about some of the sillier things that are going on in the world. And the silliness continues, my friend. The horrors persist, but so does the silliness. And that is what we are going to talk about today. It's 9 o'clock now. I'm recording this introduction. I have had an insane day of silliness, it has to be said. It started out, I went to the Arnott's fashion show. I love a fashion show. It's just like fun and brilliant and ridiculous, you know, like everybody gets really dressed up. It's all about getting your pictures. It's silly and fun, and it was really fun to be there today. How many times can I say silly in this introduction, by the way? I don't know what's going on with me. I've had a long day. I started out there, did the school run, went to the Arnott's fashion show, then I went to therapy. Had like quite an intense therapy session. I had some revelations recently that I was talking about. Then I went back into town to have a lunch for Gucci fragrance. That's all part of my job as a beauty columnist. And then I went to Esther's house to record this, and you will hear I was borderline hysterical. Like at one stage I started laughing so hard I didn't know if I was going to be able to come back. And then I went into town and wrote my beauty column and introduced a screening of John Waters' Hairspray in the IFI, which is such a privilege to do. It's a film that I absolutely love, have loved since I was like six. And it was really, really fun to introduce it and then to watch it in a room full of people who had chosen to be there. So people of taste, basically, is what I'm saying. So it's been a hectic day. And this episode was recorded in the middle of that and it's slightly hysterical. I am off to Galway tomorrow because I am interviewing Laura Barra as part of the celebration of her new book. And I'm really looking forward to that. So if you are going, as you will be listening to this, it'll be tonight if you're listening on Wednesday. If you're going, I'll see you tonight. I can't wait. It's going to be loads of fun. Thank you very much to everyone who signed up for the Patreon. I so appreciate it. I can't get over how many of you are signing up at the moment. Not like it's hundreds, but you know, every time I talk about it, a few of you sign up, and it really means a lot to me that you make the decision to do that. So thank you so much. There will be a new Patreon episode next week. We are going to be doing the culture episode, which I'm very much looking forward to. More about that anon. But I will be honest, guys, I don't feel like I'm making a lot of sense at this point in the day. So I think we better just get on with the hysteria as recorded from earlier this afternoon. Esther O'Moore Donoghue, thank you for being my first contributor on this extra long celebrity entertainment slot.
I know. It's like, where were you? Pinch yourself, write it down in the diaries, get a tattoo, let's go.
I mean, the thing is, it's probably not going to be extra long because the reality is we were already going extra long. It's just who we are. We can't help it. There's so much to say about these people and their antics. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's loads to talk about this week because, of course, the BAFTAs happened. And there was actually a lot of kind of controversy that came out of the BAFTAs. A lot of wild behavior, I feel.
Well, there was stuff going on the red carpet before we even got in there. There was that interview with Andrew Scott mm-hmm. and a BBC presenter who just asked, I just think about saying this out loud. If you would you ask someone in Tesco Express this question? Have you seen, would you allude, say, have you seen your co-worker's genitals or breasts or whatever? You'd be like, no, you wouldn't. So don't say, it's a professional setting. It's weird. It's just weird. So basically, Andrew Scott wasn't nominated for anything, but he was there presenting an award with his All of Us Strangers co-star Paul Mescal.
And the film was nominated for loads of things.
Yes.
And it, frankly, it was sacrilegious. Sacrilegious, excuse me.
Sacrilegious.
High priest. No, it was sacrilegious in my opinion that he was not nominated. He totally deserved to be nominated. He is incredible in that film. But anyway.
Yeah, I saw that. I made the mistake. I think I was saying this to our, anyway, whoever I was saying to, it doesn't matter. But I made the mistake of watching that film on my own. Mm. Oh, I wasn't well. It was so sad.
It was so sad.
Anyway.
What was it that got you?
I think, it's affirming in one way because the message is, this is all we have, you know, love those love ones close to. I think that's it.
Love is the thing.
But it's the, you know, whoever that maternal figure in your life is, that bond. Yeah. And then it's just so brutally sad. And then at the end you think, oh, more misery. We're going into another apartment and just bopping us over the head. Do you not get it? I'm going to get it to you now. So it was unrelentingly sad. But then you kind of go, better text somebody now. You know, am I going to organise my photographs? I'm going to do something after seeing this film. But
do you know what I did, which people have said is very weird? I went to see it again.
Now, Louise McShare, she can't get enough misery into her life. She's going to see.
I will say, I had bought the tickets for the second screening before I got invited to the special one that Paul and Andrew were actually going to. So mm-hmm. I didn't know, and I had the ticket already, but I wanted to go and see it again.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad I did because there was loads I picked up on the second time that I had missed the first time.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, soul destroying.
Now, my other little celebrity insider bit of tidbit gossip here is, or already running into thing, is that the man who plays the dad, the actor, I can't remember his name.
Jamie Bell,
correct. He was renting a house down from my friend in Dublin when they were here. And she got the person mixed up. I think she said Rooney Mara was here. And so I was like, is Joaquin Phoenix down the road from you? And then we realised it was Jamie Bell. And now I see he was obviously filming this film.
Wait. In Dublin?
Yeah. Did they film? You're like, Esther, they didn't film Dublin. But anyway, Jamie Bell was here.
No, because I... at a point in time, I don't know when it was because I'm so bad at time.
Yeah.
I was in the Fumbly and I was certain Jamie Bell was there beside me talking to two men. And I was like, that's Jamie Bell. So now you're telling me it's possible.
Yeah, it's probably him.
Wow.
I did think it was Joaquin Phoenix. It wasn't. It was Jamie Bell. That's still good. It all makes sense.
Like sands through the hourglass. Okay, anyway.
Okay, we're just... Oh, so Andrew Scott who's in All of Us Strangers, a brutally sad film, but brilliant, deserves all the awards, was on the red carpet. BBC presenter Colin Paterson asked him whether he knew his fellow Irish actor Barry Keoghan well. And Scott smiled and replied that he did know him, but the smile faded after Paterson proceeded to question him on Keoghan's naked dancing scene from Saltburn. So he was not alluding... You know, it was just cringe.
It was gross. And when I read about it, I was kind of like, oh, how bad can it be? And then I watched it and I was like, oh, no, it is really bad.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, did you see the dancing scene? And Andrew Scott is like, oh, what? Like, kind of doesn't really answer. And then he's like, how close are you? Like, do you think there was a prosthetic involved? Andrew Scott is visibly just... uncomfortable. Just like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, oh, too far.
Yeah.
It's just like... I don't know. I personally felt watching the videos, a lot of the videos of the red carpet interviews at the BAFTAs, that we have completely lost the run of ourselves because everybody's looking for like a viral moment. And so they're not actually being asked about the films anymore. They're being asked like everything else. And I understand that to a certain extent. It's like, it's fun to hear people talk. It's fun to hear the Irish actors talk about the other Irish actors. Like, it's fun to hear different tidbits. But like, why is Lad Bible, and no offense, because actually Vogue Williams was the person doing the interviews and I thought she did a really good job. But like, why is Lad Bible on the red carpet for the BAFTAs? Like, I just find it all very confusing at this point.
But I think you're right. Like, who we are, you know, who let everyone be on the red carpet. Whoever, Lad Bible, whoever. But I think it's more, I guess the hosts or the presenters are under pressure to get these little sound bites. You want to get the funniest thing to go viral. But you can't force that. And it's just, everyone's just trying to get this trying to get their own little angle and little slant on things, which is fair enough. But it's like, you know, on Who Weekly, when that reporter brought up to Dakota Fanning the, you know, he's like, oh, have you seen the meme of, you know, he was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders right before she died, that meme. And she just kind of went, no, what does it mean? She was playing along. Like, it just, he kind of killed it because he was trying to get his own little kind of moment. And it's like, just leave it.
Yeah.
Just, we need training. We need retraining.
Well, yeah. And like, I will say, I have done that job. I've been at the side of a red carpet with a microphone, and it is really hard and really awkward, and you're nervous. And like, these are the world's most famous people, and you also have a job to do, and you've got to get your stuff. I'm not cut out for it. Like, I can't do it. So like, all respect to those people, because I wouldn't be able to do it. But I also just think we've kind of lost the run of ourselves, I guess, is what I'm saying. So that was gross.
Put anyway. To me on the red carpet next year asking people questions.
You'd be great.
So where did you...
Where's blah, the blah, best blah, roast? Blah, blah, blah.
Come here, do you know what carvery is? Me trying to explain to Pedro Pascal. So it's like you get a roast joint of beef or chicken. It could be chicken. Traditionally it is. Anyway, yeah.
I see. I'm kind of into that though, to be honest.
So anyway, that was before the going into the award ceremony. And then we were... delighted as a nation when Cillian Murphy won Best Actor for Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan also won Best Director, and it won Best Picture. Emma Stone won Best Actor for Poor Things. And so they were the kind of the overall winners. Barbie was nominated for bits, didn't get anything. But they were all there. The show was hosted by David Tennant. And it was this year, it was just like classic award show. We love Ariana DeBose, but there was no Angela Bassett did the thing, which I'm sure we spoke about last year.
My woman king. Yes. I mean, I miss her.
Yeah. And so none of that. So it was just very straight down.
Every time that's mentioned, my friend had a birthday party not long after that, like within weeks of that happening. And by the end of the karaoke party, it was a karaoke party, sorry. And by the end of the karaoke, one of my friends was just doing Angela Bassett did the thing over a beat, just like over and over again. And we were all just like voguing around the room. And I cannot think of that without that moment. So it is the gift that keeps on giving.
It was a moment of joy. Also have to mention Divine Joy Randolph, who won for Best Supporting Actress for her role in The Holdovers. Now, have you seen The Holdovers?
I have not.
It's V good.
A friend of mine confessed yesterday, a mutual friend of ours, that she has in fact been lying about liking it because she thought it was quite boring.
I mean, it's a bit slow, but it's just... No, I think it's beautiful. No, disagree.
Isn't that funny though? Wait till I tell you who it was. Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
The pressure. I know you were like, no, I think it's really good. Like, what do we all pretend to like that we don't like?
Oh,
Taramasalata. I don't know.
I like Taramasalata.
Okay. Saltburn was nominated, didn't win anything. Hugh Grant introduced Best Director category with the Wonka inspired ditty.
Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa. Have you seen Wonka?
No, I've seen him in the little cartoon, like when he's in the bell jar or whatever.
He's so good. I really liked Wonka, and actually we've been listening to the songs a lot in my house. The kids are mad into them. The songs were written by Neil Hannon. Sorry, his name went out of my hand. Yeah, the songs are written by Neil Hannon from like the Divine Comedy, Irish guy. He's Irish. Is he Irish?
He is Irish, yeah.
There you go.
But did you see Hugh Grant introducing Best Director?
Very good.
Yeah, it's very good. Okay, we're just going to... This is the catch-up, so we're going to do for you. He said, Oompa Loompa Doopity Dee, now the Best Director category. Oompa Loompa Doompity Dong. Most of these films are frankly too long. Something you'd agree with. 90 minutes. Tight 90 minutes. Please. Oompa Loompa Doompity Da, but for some reason the nominees are... Works with the British accent, so
very good.
Was Hugh Grant a little...
Into it.
Yeah. Everyone went nuts on Paul Mescal, as we mentioned, and Andrew Scott presented as Best Animated Film, but as I said again, Oliver Strangers didn't win.
They are just the most loved men in the world.
And then there was this other, this is another kind of feeding into maybe slightly people have lost their minds asking questions on the red carpet. People just don't have their moment. During the presentation of the best film to Oppenheimer, a BAFTA prankster hopped up on stage behind the director and cast. Did you see this?
Yeah.
And he crashed the ceremony. He snuck in and he was standing behind them. He joined the director, Christopher Nolan, producer Emma Thomas, Cillian Murphy on stage. And BAFTA responded to the incident saying, social media prankster, which seems kind of sort of old fashioned, the way they say it, a social media pressure, was removed by security last night after joining the winners on the final award on stage. We're taking this very seriously and don't wish to grant him any publicity by commenting further. So,
you know, it kind of is serious. Like, he's standing on stage. If you see any photos of the Oppenheimer people like winning the award, he's there in those photos. And like, you know, I've seen The Bodyguard. We know these famous people, they can be at risk. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be that just anyone can end up on the stage at the BAFTAs.
No, just casually just sauntered up there. While I have it in my head, you know, Kevin Costner has his great-great-granddad or something came from somewhere in Kilkenny.
I did not know that.
Thank you.
My God. Talk about the gift that keeps on giving. That's you, Esther.
I want everyone to bring these up and work now. Just scatter them into your conversations over the next few days.
Michael J. Fox, I gather, was like, I actually didn't watch the BAFTAs. I wanted to, but life intervened. And Michael J. Fox was there and he had everyone very moved.
Yeah, it was a surprise appearance. He presented the Best Picture Award. It hadn't been listed beforehand, so it was a surprise. And there was a gasp of excitement in the room when he entered. He had a documentary out last year called Still. Did you watch that?
I did. It's very good.
Yes, it was very good. So that was another. It was another layer to this year's award ceremony.
Pretty sure the editor of that documentary is Irishman Michael Hart.
The facts are coming left and right.
Well,
today.
I think I worked like near Michael Hart one time in an office about 20 years ago. So obviously every time he succeeds, I'm like, oh yeah, there he goes.
His success is my success. Yeah.
Also, a girl I used to know won a BAFTA.
Okay.
There you go. She won for producing a film called Earth Mama. And actually another girl I used to know, Shirley O'Connor. I mean, if I saw them, I would say hello, we'd have a chat. But yeah, two Irish producers won BAFTAs for Earth Mama.
Amazing.
Yeah, very good. Aren't we great?
Oh, we're the best.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Moving on, big news for Kat Deeley.
I mean, a big year in the Deeley-Keelty household.
Yes,
Deeley-Keelty, Deeley-Keelty household. Yeah, so ITV's this morning has been rudderless. Holly Willoughby's gone. Oh no. Quickly, there's a fire in the studio. Holly Willoughby's gone. We need to capture her. Get her. Going by in a speedboat, a jet ski on the Thames.
Don't be silly, Holly Willoughby.
Oh, don't be silly, Holly Willoughby. Come on in. Come on, we're going to make pasta with Clodagh McKenna. So she's been gone because, unfortunately for Holly Willoughby, she, who was Holly Willoughby's sister, she left in October 2023 out of fear there was a plot to kidnap her. So, is the truth. It's the truth. Wow. Going to cancel Louise. We're just going to get cancelled. Louise is going to be the front of the Knockline newsletter.
This is what I'm saying, though. This is why people shouldn't be able to just randomly get on the BAFTA stage. these people are at risk, and I'm not laughing at someone trying to kidnap Holly Willy Willy. It's just, yes, it's all too much for me.
But it did happen. So anyway, she left. She now hosts Dancing on Ice exclusively currently. That's her, and she's got her wild jewellery fashion label or whatever. Anyway, so no host.
She's grand. She's fine. Willy's grand.
She's got a huge deal with loads of different people, and she's doing well. Anyway, she's gone. So they were kind of testing out different presenters and kind of doing different pairings. Irishman Greg Doyle was in the mix for there and for a while, and I'm sure he'll kind of cover and, you know, when people are sick. But anyway, the new female host of This Morning is Kat Deely, and Ben Shepherd is her co-host.
I think this is good.
I think it's good.
I remember when they announced that she was filling in, I misunderstood and thought that she had been announced at the time as the permanent co-host. And I was like, that makes sense, because everybody who watched her on like SMTV and CDUK is now the age of people who watched This Morning. And she was brilliant then, and she's brilliant now. Did you see Patrick Keelty posted a really beautiful video of her?
Yeah, it was very cute.
I thought it was very cute.
Yeah, it was very sweet. He said, Paddy from Dundrum, County Down, wrote, I don't know what a morning person actually was until I met this woman. She gets up every day with a smile on her face at 5:30 a.m, whistling in the shower, smile on her face. Oh, Kat, you're a bit dodgy there now. I'd be like, please be quiet. Then downs two coffees and gives you the look. Yeah, anyway, basically it was very sweet.
Very
sweet.
Basically,
she's an up and down. They seem like a cute couple.
And a montage of all these little home videos of her. I will admit, I was kind of annoyed by the montage because she looked flawless throughout.
It's disgusting.
And even when she was like, I don't know, had a cake on her head or whatever, she still was...
Yeah. We resent and support these women. Good for them.
It's just that she's sound and beautiful. Yeah. And like, is that fair?
No.
I'm not sure it is.
It's not fair.
I'm not sure it is. Amy Huberman's another one. Sound and gorgeous.
But
not fair.
Not fair. But we are not just 80% happy for her. We are 100% happy for her and Patrick Keelty. I'd say the kids are like, what the F is going on? Our parents are like all over the place.
Well, the thing is,
so busy.
It's got to be kind of weird, though, because the Late Late Show is kind of struggling a little bit. And I kind of have feel for Patrick Keelty. Like, he came into such a massive, massive gig, trying to reestablish it as a new thing while also hang on to the people who used to listen to or watch it because they had such huge viewers. So he's got this massive thing going on. Now Kat's got this ginormous thing going on. Like, what is it like in their house at the moment? I can't even imagine.
I don't know, but they seem like they can weather this storm together.
Yes.
This storm of celebration together, yeah.
Happy I believe them. In them. Mm-hmm. Happy for them. Okay, let's talk about Madame Web, because I cannot remember the last time I have seen a film so universally panned. And I think it's such a shame because we don't get that many like superhero blockbuster films that are centered around a female cast. And this just seems to have been a disaster.
Not since Leap Year was given 2 stars in New Magazine have I wanted to go see a film less. No, I'm just kidding. I wanted to go see Leap Year because New Magazine gave it 2 stars. I was like, this is going to be brilliant. Anyway, Madame Web. It's a Sony Marvel movie. Dakota Johnson. Dakota Johnson. I made a choice and I got it wrong. Dakota Johnson is the lead, and Brian, for an example, it's kind of been universally not well received. People are not liking it. Brian Lloyd of Entertainment.ie gave it 0.5 star.
Yeah.
And people are saying it is a grade A stinker. And there was obviously a lot of money put behind it. It's got a stellar cast, and obviously this is kind of the introduction. They're going to build a whole franchise about it, but it looks like looking at the box office returns, it didn't make even make the budget, or the budget it took to didn't recoup its expenditure. So,
which is wild, because like Brian Lloyd writes, he says, for a start, nobody was really clamoring for this movie. Sure, comic book movies are in their flop era, and Sony's repeated attempts at making any kind of comic book movie outside of Spider-Man or Venom have been flagrantly terrible. But Madame Web exists solely in the minds of studio executives looking for cheap, sellable content. In fact, there's a nice chunk of corporate synergy going on here. PepsiCo must have underwritten a sizable chunk of the production budget, as there are examples of product placement in this ball of shit that would make Michael Bay weep with joy. The final set piece actually takes place on top of a neon Pepsi Cola sign. Really?
You see, I think, again, it's all feeding into the same thing. If you want to meme things, if you want to just pull out clips that you're people are going to blindly walk to the cinema and go and see, you can't just, you have to put money and talent in behind the scripts. And I'm sure there are talented people working on the scripts like that, but it's, you can't just feed us complete fast food. We need quality.
Yeah.
And they have all the raw materials. They've got the budget. They've got the cast.
Yeah. And Brian says, like, you can actually see Dakota Johnson disassociated.
Yeah.
During the performance. So a friend of mine, Patrick, went to see the film mm-hmm. this week, and I messaged him by way of research. And I said, Patrick, please report back. I knew we were going to be talking about it. I said, I need to know if it's as shit as everyone says. And he says, well, .. it is. Crying laughing face. He says, I wish it leaned more camp rather than just plain boring.
Yeah.
And now even that is an indictment.
If it can, you can enjoy something if it is just so ridiculous and yeah. campy. But if it's just...
Yeah, like I went to see Book Club 2 and it was truly awful, mm-hmm. but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it was ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know, and there is the sublime in the ridiculous.
So maybe go see All of Us Strangers, not on your own. Don't go see Madame Web.
Yeah, no, not recommended. Now, a casting bit of news this week that I just don't remember the last time I heard something that made so much sense is... in regard to the Devil Wears Prada musical adaptation that is going to be happening in London. Who's going to be playing Miranda Priestly?
Vanessa Williams.
Stunning.
Former star of Ugly Betty will be playing the iconic fictional runway magazine editor-in-chief from The Devil Wears Prada. And it's going to begin performances in London in October.
I'm super excited about this because, first of all, Vanessa Williams is she's incredible as a person. So she was Miss America. Am I getting this right? Pretty sure she was Miss America. She certainly was like the winner of one of those pageants. But I think it was Miss America. And it was a really big deal at the time because she was black. And she became super popular. And then, yeah, she was Miss America 1984. And she became super popular. She sang Sometimes the Snow Comes Down in June.
Did I pretend I was a star of that video a million times and travel around the house in my aunt's bridesmaid dress thinking I'm the most beautiful child that's ever lived? Of course!
I remember vivid memories of my favorite thing to do, and this is really now, guys, this is who I really am, okay? Like,
she's got her leopard skin print runners on her, she's cool, but who are you really, Louise?
I really am the girl whose favorite thing to do as a kid, and now if I was given the option, was to go stand beside a friend who had a piano, who could play that piano, make them play songs on the piano so that I could sing them. That was my favorite thing to do when I was a teenager. I still would love it now.
Louise, I could totally see this for you. A Countess Luanne de Lesseps style evening.
Cabaret!
We do the Sugar Club.
Oh.
Louise McSherry and friends. I would be one of the friends.
Sorry.
Can I play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and the Tin Whistle? I can. And the Kerry Polka? I can.
Sorry.
Yes!
We should actually do this.
Yes!
Like, that would
perfect.
Be so funny.
Louise McSherry and friends.
Maybe Emer can sing.
Emer can sing. Sophie can sing.
Yeah.
They can do a little duet. They can do Elaine Page.
Yes. Another song I used to sing with my friend at the piano.
What that 9-year-old has gone through.
I know him so well.
It took time to understand him. She's 9. I know him so well. I can tap dance very badly.
Wow.
Cassie Delaney can tap dance. Look.
Yeah, James and Kian produced a whole unbelievable like drag competition. Well, it wasn't really drag. No, it was like the snatch game. Guys, there's so much possibility. There's real potential here.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe we could do it for Christmas.
Yeah.
The Catch-Up Cabaret.
Perfect.
No one steal that. Okay, that's TM.
We're like, no, you're okay. You can have that one.
Anyway, that is who I truly am. And I used to stand beside my friend Stephanie and we would sing, you go and save the best for last. And anyway, that is a Vanessa Williams song. And she played Wilhelmina Slater, obviously, in Ugly Betty. She was so good as a bitchy magazine editor. She's going to be perfect. She's perfect.
Yes.
She's perfect for this.
And I kind of feel like, I mean, I do love Vanessa Williams and everything, but this sort of hit me the same way the Sandoval scandal hit me, because I could see some of my friends were losing their minds. You were very excited as well about it. But I do appreciate that she is a phenomenal performer. And I like what she's been through. Like, they tried to shame her back in the day. It was
they
a different
did.
Time. Because she, I don't know, she posed with photos or she had photos taken when she was
Playboy,
topless
yeah.
or whatever. But no, you can't be tamed. You can't be shamed. And yeah. here she is. She's going to be in the Devil Wears Prada musical.
I'm very excited.
So it's going to be brilliant. And
I'm really sorry. I did a full sniffle into the microphone there. Sorry about that, guys.
That's quite all right.
Sometimes life happens.
Louise is human. She sniffles.
Two more things, Esther. I'm going to spring one thing on you.
Okay.
And then a breaking thing that we just read as we came to the microphones. First thing is, I am wildly excited about Celebrity Big Brother. We have had years without it. Celebrity Big Brother has brought me some of my favorite moments of entertainment in my entire life.
David's dead.
David is dead.
The best.
What about, would you like me to be the cat?
Would you like, me and my brother still say that to each other, just randomly. Would you like me to be the cat?
I was recently at a party and I met a friend of a friend. And she is like a pop culture jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally just request pop culture moments and she can perform the entire thing as if she has a script in front of her. And she could do so many Celebrity Big Brother moments. Anyway, we've been without it for years. It's coming back. It's starting on March 4th. So that's like really soon at 9 p.m. It's going to be on Virgin Media 2 and Virgin Media Player. Very exciting. So obviously the speculation has begun in terms of who is going to be in it. And already there is a favorite to win. With odds of 7-1, Louis Walsh.
I think he's a great presenter. I think he's a great manager. But I just don't see him for Celebrity Big Brother.
So here's my intel on Louis Walsh. I've met Louis Walsh a couple of times. I think he might. What's he doing? He loves attention, you know? I've met him a couple of times and he is the kind of, like, he will just insult people to their faces. Like, he does not care. Not necessarily in a vicious way, but like when I met him within moments, he was giving out about a group of people. I'm not going to go into specifics here. And someone in the room was like, oh, my daughter was there. And he was like, well, I'm sorry, but it's shit. Like, he does not care at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that would be wildly entertaining.
It would be. I'd say, yeah, he's a great man for the gossip, but they've been behind the scenes. He's done too many reality shows.
Oh, he'd be giving it all away. He called a very famous person. He told me a very famous person was to see you next Tuesday. I'd only met him like 5 minutes previously. He'd be giving it all away.
Well, I'm sure he could secure himself a huge fee based on that. But who else has suggested?
That's really the main one. They're talking about Ekin-Su from Love Island.
Oh yeah.
Kate Middleton's uncle, Gary Goldsmith. I don't know who that is. Amir Khan's wife, Farielle Makhdoum. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see. Because the reality is we won't know until they go in for sure. Or like on the day they go in, they'll probably leak it. But I will be absolutely glued to that. You better believe I will be watching every moment.
Because I think with those shows, I think just the relentlessness of being in there. I think you obviously go in the game plan. I'm not going to reveal this. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. But living with people for that amount of time that you don't know, and you can't just pop up to the shops, you can't just pick up your phone, you're like, if you stop eating or breathing in that way, I'm going to just,
yeah, I really don't know how I would do on a show like that. Like, not that I would be invited, but like, I mean, would I be sound and like end up being friends with everyone, or would I have a homicidal break and murder everyone? Like, I truly feel like it could go either way.
You have to make a really strong choice. I'm just gonna tune it all out and meditate, because if you go down the rage route of someone chewing their food or keeps hogging, you get annoyed about someone taking too many slices of rasher or bacon or something. Anyway.
See, the problem is that I can't hide my feelings.
Yeah.
So like, if I like you, you will know.
Yeah.
If I don't like you, you will also know.
It would be funny. I can imagine the cuts between something going on to the right and then a cut to Louise's face and just the cloud.
Oh, it would be so bad. I'd be in so much
trouble. Anyway, so that starts March 4th, so we're excited about that. Yes,
March 4th. And then the final thing that I wanted to bring up, which I forgot to mention to you ahead of time, so I apologize, Esther, is Billie Eilish is in trouble. Did you see this?
Yeah, was this about TikTok people?
Yeah. So they
Where was she? I saw the thing, but I didn't see where she was.
So the People's Choice Awards were on Sunday night. Now, the People's Choice Awards are so American because it's a public vote award show. So it's not taken as seriously as the other award shows. And they've got like really populist categories, like, you know, Billie Eilish won for like best favorite television performance or whatever. She won for her acting in Swarm. Now, I thought very coolly dedicated her award to the lead actress from Swarm because she's bloody amazing and she's right. But there's, you know, it's a lot more mainstream and populist than the other award shows. So lots of people from social media were there. There were loads of TikTokers there. And unfortunately for Billie Eilish, she was caught having a quick chat with Kylie Minogue and saying, there's some like TikTokers here. And
That's all that was caught. Now, she was definitely a little bit disdainful. But frankly, I think if I was Billie Eilish, I would also be disdainful. And I say this as a content creator. We are very annoying people.
Well, I'm sure it's just for her. There are levels within that world.
Yeah.
And I saw that she kind of covered her mouth. So she wasn't trying to be mean, whatever she was fully disclosing to Kylie. Because everyone's lip reading everything. You can't go on a red carpet without somebody lip reading you, Louise, as I'm sure you're well aware of. So she said what she said. She did what she did.
I just think, you know, there were apparently some, I heard reports of some TikTokers like queuing up at people's tables to ask for photographs and like acting like fans. And I kind of feel like if you're in a situation, and I have been in this situation where I've been like, you know, for example, at the Victor and Ralph Couture show, and like, I do not belong there. Like, what the was I doing there? But I was so happy to be there.
Yeah.
But you have to behave. Uh-huh. Like, act like you're supposed to be there.
Yeah.
You know, don't be, to quote Luann Del Seps, just be cool. Don't be all uncool. Like, seriously, though.
And you can catch Louise and friends in Cabaret this Christmas. We've only got 9 months left. So 9.5 months left. Let's get it organized.
I will say I do feel sorry for the, not that sorry, obviously, but I do feel sorry for the celebs that they now have to cover their mouth, like, all the time because there's so much lip reading and stuff.
I know.
Like, I was watching some of the... Sorry, I'm just feeding into the... I am part of the problem, but I was watching some of the TikToks of Taylor Swift from, like, around the Super Bowl, and she's, like, every single time she speaks to someone, she has to put her hands up around her mouth like this because...
And what is she saying? She's going, I farted. The whole time. Stop farting, Taylor, please. She's like, oh, I did it again. We don't know what she's saying.
Oh, my God. Esther, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me, Esther Two Names, on Instagram. I rarely post. I rarely do stories. But still, it's nice to see those numbers keep going up and then go down and then go back up again.
When she does, though, it's good. It's good quality.
When I do, I know.
You're a good quality Instagrammer.
Yeah, quality, not quantity.
And that's it?
That's it. We are going to be doing a special once-off Sunday Roast episode coming up soon. So if you follow the Sunday Roast podcast,
And follow that anyway, because if you haven't listened to it, it is really good fun.
Yeah, there's lots of episodes up there.
Fun, wholesome listen. Mm-hmm. Esther and Moore Donahue, thank you so much.
Thank you, Louise.
Flimsy stands slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo. Built to last. Designed to impress.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.